Find your place, if you will, please stand for reverence for reading of God's Word. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot, and seethe the pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lapful, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, Pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word tonight. Lord, I thank You for the message that You laid on my heart. God, I thank You for the calling on my life. Lord, I pray, God, that I could serve You and glorify You and only You tonight. Lord, I pray that as these people look in my direction and hear the words that leave my mouth, that they would see You and hear You and nothing of myself. Lord God, I pray that this message would be received well, Lord, that it would be a help to Your people. Dear God, please give us strength as we stand to preach and deliver Your Word. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every person here would be blessed by You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach tonight on death in the pot. I believe that the Lord would have us to see in these verses a great application to our day and time. Certainly an application to our nation. But even more importantly, the application to our church. First thing I'd like for us to examine is a serious situation. It says there in the beginning of verse 38 that the place that we're speaking of is Gilgal. Gilgal was a location. It was approximately 15 miles west of the Jordan River. It was about 17 miles north of Jerusalem. But the geographical location is not what I want to focus on this evening. What I would like to get to is the significant thing, and that is that Gilgal, I believe, is a place of blessing and a place of mistakes. It's a place of uplifting, but also a place of stumbling. It's definitely representative of something that we need to learn from tonight. You know, I think, first of all, that Gilgal obviously applies to our land because our land has been blessed, our country, our nation has been so greatly blessed by God. It also applies to our country in that our country, our leadership, and we as a people continue to make mistakes. Taking prayer out of school, abortion, taking God off of the money and out of the pledge, and things, those are mistakes. And it seems to me that they are getting worse and worse and more and more. But like I said, I would like to focus more importantly on how this applies to our church. Now, I don't think there would be any argument in here from anyone that our church has been greatly blessed. What I would like to draw out of these verses tonight is that this message, these verses, and what the Lord has sent through them is a warning to our church not to make mistakes. You see, Gilgal is a place where Joshua, after leading the children of Israel through the Jordan on dry land, he set up a memorial there. He erected stones on top of one another, and they said, and you can read about this in the book of Joshua. It's in the fourth chapter. But he said, in the future, when anyone asks about these stones, you can tell them that this is where the Lord allowed us to pass through on dry land. That was a blessing, wouldn't you agree? That was a great, even I would say a miraculous blessing. But if we read on in the book of Joshua and we get to chapter 9, we see that Gilgal is also a place where Joshua and the princes of Israel were deceived. And they made a league with the Gibeonites. That was a mistake. So right there in that first example, we see that Gilgal was a place where they were blessed, and it was also a place where they made a mistake. And you know, some people may say, they could read that story about Joshua and they say, well, preacher, you know, I don't see where anything bad happened out of that league with the Gibeonites. I mean, you could even say they gained slaves out of that agreement there. But what I would like to point out to you is that they were delivered by the hand of God. You see, if you study that closely, you'll see that because of their league with the Gibeonites, the Israelites ended up in a battle that they didn't. Lord blessed them in that battle. But what I'd like to say tonight is that what if the Lord had taken His hand away from them? And let me tell you this. This is why I say it was such a grave mistake. If you read in Joshua 9:14, it says, "And the men," speaking of the Israelites, "and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." Now, any time that you do anything, make any decision, make any agreement, make any pact with anyone, before you enter any situation, I admonish you to seek the counsel of the Lord. Pray about it. Even to the point, and you may say this is ridiculous, but you can't convince me that it's not a good idea to pray before your feet hit the floor in the morning. Because what if you were to slip and fall and break your neck? If the Lord were to remove His hand, we couldn't make it. We wouldn't last. You see, if we don't seek the counsel of the Lord, we will make mistakes. As we see here, the Lord is very long-suffering. The Lord is very patient with the people. Just like He did with the Israelites, He allowed them a great victory in that battle. He didn't have to do that. You know, we could move on in research in Gilgal, and we would come to a place in the book of 1 Samuel and find that Gilgal is the place where they made Saul king. That's the place where the people, I guess you could say, elected or where they celebrated, where they offered sacrifices upon the time that Saul's kingship was announced. Sounds like a good thing, right? Sacrificing, celebrating, they've got a king, that's what they asked for. If you continue on in the book of 1 Samuel and you get to chapter 13, you'll see that Gilgal is also the place where Saul made a grave mistake. Saul's mistake was that he intruded into the office of the priest. He got impatient. Doesn't that sound like us? So many times, you know, we want a blessing, and maybe we're at a place in our life and we feel comfortable that we've been blessed there before. And we think, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. You know, I feel the liberty to do this of ourselves. And we don't wait on to talk to the man of God. We don't wait to seek the Lord's counsel. We just go ahead and do it. Well, Saul and what took place there is a great example. You know, that what Saul did resulted in God's rejection of Saul and of his lineage. You see, that by God's providence, it's what prepared the throne for King David. Now you may say, what does this have to do with us? Bethel, I believe the Lord would have me tell you that you've been blessed. But be careful in Gilgal. Be very, very careful. It's easy to focus on your blessings, which we should. We should thank God for them. We should be very ready to praise Him for those blessings. But don't forget how easy it is to make mistakes. Don't lose your reverence for God. Secondly, I'd like to see the sad state that they're in. Elisha came to Gilgal, and it says there in verse 38 that there was a dearth in the land. That word dearth means famine. You know, church, I'd like to say that there's a famine in our land right now. Even more than that, there's a famine in our churches right now. And what I'm talking about is a famine of the Word of God, the true Word of God. There's a famine of the true preaching of God. There's a famine of the true worship of God. And there's a famine of true reverence for God in so many churches. You know, throughout the path that the Lord has led my family on, we have been allowed, privileged by Him, to visit quite a few different churches. And I could spend a lot of time telling you the things that we saw in those churches. The lack of reverence, the lack of worship, the lack of the preaching, the lack of the Word of God, all of those exist out there right now. There is absolutely nothing that says Bethel could not become one of those churches. You know, I believe with all my heart that our nation and many of the people in our land have lost their fear of God. I believe that they have lost respect for God. All you have to do is go out into the community and just watch. You don't even have to talk to people. But just watch the way they act. Just listen to the things they say. You know, just turn on the TV if you want to and see where they'll bleep out a four-letter word, but they can take the Lord's name in vain and they don't bleep that out. That tells me that there's a great, great lack of fear for the Lord. When people can do those things freely, can do those things and not feel guilty about them, which they sure don't act like they're guilty. I don't know. They may be. But I don't see it. But anyway, in these verses we see that Elisha, the man of God, came and he saw hungry mouths in need of nourishment. Isn't that how it is in the church? You know, I'd like to say that as sad as it is in one aspect that you go to a church and you see hunger, at the same time, I'd like to say here in Bethel, I believe there is a good hunger. I believe that as a church, Bethel has been fed the true Word of God, but we still hunger for it. We need to make it a point to keep that hunger. You know, the Word of God and the preaching of God is something that you can get full of and immediately want more. You know, it's not like physical nourishment where you just push back from the table, but how many times do we do that? You know, how many times do we get by 12 o'clock exactly what we need, what we think we need, and then we stop listening. We've had enough. We got to keep that hunger. You know, the man of God, he sees these hungry people. He sends somebody out to gather and prepare sustenance. Now stick with me here. I want you to see how this portrays the church. You see, God looks on us and He sees the need of His people of spiritual nourishment. So He sends a preacher to go out and gather, study, glean from the Word of God, to prepare it and present that to those hungry people. But it doesn't stop there. This is where it really starts hitting home. The preacher's not the only one that's feeding the church. You know, I don't know if you realize it or not, but every single time that someone stands up to testify, every single time that someone sings, every single time that someone speaks within the hearing of this congregation, in a way they're feeding the church. Because we take in what's said. And that causes concern within me. The reason why that causes concern is because of James 3:8. That verse says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." We'll come back to that poison in a minute. Thirdly, let's examine the searching servant. That's the one who goes out. Okay, he's in search of anything. You know, there's a famine in the land. Times are tough. So he's just looking for something to bring back. You know, this person, it could be anyone in the congregation. It could be the preacher. But they go out searching for something. You know, when times are tough, whenever in this world that we live in, it's so hard to find good preaching. It's so hard to get people to come to the house of God that people tend to want to go out into the world and they're thinking, I need to find something. You know, it'd be great if I could figure out a way to get more people to come to church. And it is, but we've got to be real careful. You know, what happens is that you come across something, as the Word of God puts it, this servant came across something wild. It says that he came across he found a wild vine. Now that word wild, it connotates that this plant was unattended. It just grew however it wanted to. That plant had never been pruned. It had never been kept. It had never been tended. You know, that right there is a good clue. You know, and I'll come back to that clue, but just remember, that's a good clue that it's unkempt. It's wild. And as we're out there in the world thinking about how we can get more people in church, it's easy to come across wild things. You know, it probably looked real good. I'm sure for someone that was hungry, and they came across this it says gourd there, that it looked good. It was probably very fleshy as far as fruit goes. Very ripe looking. It may have even smelled good. You know, and a lot of times that's the way wild things are. They're very appealing. They'll deceive you. You know, like I said, I mean, it appealed to him. So he picked it. This servant picked it. Then he brought it back to the others, and they decide to try it. Now I've, in my notes here, I've underlined they. Now, I know that there was more than one. It says that one went out, but at the end of verse 39, it says, "For they knew them not." So there was more than one person involved in that. You know, there was more than one cook there at that pot. Now, I want you to listen how what we just talked about, what we just read, how it can play out in our churches today. Like I said before, someone, a preacher, a deacon, a song leader, a member goes out and they're thinking, you know, attendance has fallen off, or the offering's just not what it should be. Maybe they just need a little something. Maybe people need a little something to draw them into church. Then you come across something different, something new, something that looks real good. And this is that clue I was talking about, how it's wild, it's unkempt. You know, if it's not grounded and rooted, if it's not been tended and proven by the old ways, if you can't take the King James Bible, the Word of God, and take whatever it is that you think is going to draw people to church and line it up with that Word of God, you better leave it alone. No matter how good it smells, no matter how good it looks, don't bring it in the church. You know, it may be a new song. It may be a new book. It may, you know, it may be a new way to worship. So many churches have fallen because of the new Bible. You know, all of those are things that someone decided would help people. Notice I said someone decided would help, that it would help people. You know, Satan will try any way that he can to get in here. And I believe it'd be very hard for Satan to walk in on his own, but I believe it'd be very easy for him to ride in on someone's back, tucked under somebody's coat. You know, we could go out and without enough research or without enough prayer, without seeking the counsel of the Lord, we can bring things into this church. We could stand up and testify those things. We could share those things with others. And slowly but surely, a great cancer would break out in this church. There could be a great falling, a great stumbling of this church and its people. You know, the next statement that someone makes after they go out and they gather something like that seems to be, you know, it won't hurt to try it. If it don't work, we'll just go back to the old way. God have mercy. God have mercy on those that think that you can try something and then just go back to the way things were. Don't work like that. You know, so you come in and you tell some others about it. You know, any time that you've got something new, it's human nature, you want to share it with somebody. You know, a lot of times you want to boast about it, you want to brag about it, so naturally you're going to involve other people. If you're not careful, you'll become a stumbling block to those people. The Bible speaks strongly against that. You know, you come up here and you play that song, or you sing it, or you stand up, you share what you've gone out and you gathered. And, you know, it's so easy for someone to say, without enough forethought, "The Lord told me to say this. The Lord told me to do this." It's so easy just to stand up on your own, led by the flesh, and say that you had some divine guidance. You know, people say, "I've got to do what He told me to do." Now, don't get me wrong. We have to be obedient. Obedience is very important. But you have to be very careful. Before you say or do anything, you have got to be absolutely, positively sure of the source of that. Don't be too quick to jump up and say something. Search it out in your heart. If you feel like the Lord is leading you to something, then you pray about it. Before you ever stand up out of your seat, you pray about it. Ask and seek His guidance. Be sure that that's what He wants you to do. Because if you don't, and you stand up and you blurt out something or you do something that's not with the will of God, then you are administering a poison to this church. And it's nothing but God's mercies that will protect His people from it. You know, you've got to find out, is it the Lord or is it the flesh? Just like these men cried out here whenever they began to eat of what had been gathered and prepared and brought to them. You can hear the cry of so many poisoned and broken and dying churches. The same cry that we read here. There's death in the pot. As the church is withering away, you can almost go in the end of that sanctuary, attend a service, and you can almost hear that cry. There's death in the pot. Somewhere there was a choir leader or a preacher that stood and preached something out of the will of God or sang something, and it infected those people. And they didn't do anything about it. They allowed it to happen. Because of that, that church is dying. It's all over the place. If you don't believe me, well, I started to say go visit some, but I don't think I would. I believe you should just take my word for it. I've been there. I know. That statement, there's death in the pot. Whenever I read those verses, that hit me really hard. You know, I'm not a very loud person. My kids might disagree, but I'm really not. But you know, as I was studying this out, I thought, you know, when you get to that part, maybe you should just cry out. Just scream. There's death in the pot. But I think you understand what I'm saying. I feel that by the silence, I think you understand the seriousness of that situation. Fourthly, I'd like for us to see the simple solution. And this is just how easy it is. Those churches could have easily been saved. Those churches could very easily have gotten back on the right track. And if it were to happen in this church, God forbid, but it'd be very easy for us to have a solution. I'd like to point out right here that when they were in need, they called on the man of God. They didn't bring that fruit to Him after they gathered it. They didn't bring it to Him and say, what do you think about this? We've never eaten this before. Can you help us decide whether or not we should eat this? They didn't seek His counsel when they gathered it. But whenever they started feeling sick and they became poisoned, then they cried out for the man of God. That's how it happened so many times. You don't want anybody to tell you how to do it. I don't. I don't want anybody to tell me this is good or bad. I want to do it on my own. That's stubbornness. That's independence. You know, if I would just humble myself to a point of seeking godly counsel, how many mistakes would that have saved me from? But like I said, we see here, it's right there in verse 40. It says that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there's death in the pot. And they couldn't eat it. That simple solution that I was talking about is meal. That word meal. Now, the first thing I thought about was cornmeal. What's cornmeal used for? To make different types of bread. It's nothing fancy. The man of God didn't go out and play like a witch doctor, mix up something. He didn't go out and gather a bunch of ingredients, mix it up and pour it in there and say, this will make you better. He just simply called for some meal. You know, that meal has one ingredient. I believe that meal represents bread, but not just any bread. This is a simple solution I'm talking about. I believe it represents the bread of life. That's a solution for a dying church. Just one ingredient. It doesn't have to be a great mixture. Just one ingredient. That one ingredient is Jesus. That is the bread of life. If you'd turn with me over to John, you don't have to. I'm going to read it. John chapter 6, verses 32 through 35 says, Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Like I said, Jesus is that bread of life. You know, when you've gone out into the world and you've gathered something that seemed like such a great idea, something new, something wild, and you've brought it into the house of God, you know, and you have possibly poisoned the people in the house of God, you need to get on your face and seek the one simple solution that can solve it. That's Jesus. You know, I've said before, and that's what I want to do right here, I try not to preach a message. I try not to take it for granted anywhere that I go that everyone's saved. You know, right here I'd like to say that if you've been in the world and you're poisoned by the world, it's the same simple solution, Jesus. If you'll just call on Him, He can cure that. He can cure the sickness that you have. You know, the church, a lot of times, we can see in Scripture that they let in false brethren. It's all throughout Paul's writings. You know, they let them in unawares to spy out our liberty. The church, it says in one place that certain men have crept in unawares. Those are things that we have to be ever ready for. You know, I've talked a lot, and I don't know, I may have stepped on some toes. You may feel like you've been preached at. I don't know. I've just delivered the message that He gave me. But if you could lay that feeling aside and just take it for a warning with new people coming into the church. I welcome new people. I am so thankful to have visitors. But I am so cautious about what they bring to this church. And it alarms me if it's something other than what's in the Word of God. We need to be very cautious about that, church. We need to be very careful about that. But I'll say it again. There's only one that can put a church back on track. There's only that one ingredient. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you are here tonight and you're lost, you may not realize it, but within you is a poison. And if you remain lost, that poison could infect others. The things that you say, it could draw others away from God. If you're under the sound of my voice tonight and you're lost, I beg you and urge you to seek out God. Try to cure what ails you. You know, there's only one sure antidote. That's Jesus. That's the only way anything's going to be cured. A church or a soul, anything like that. That's it. That's all that the Lord gave us. You know, I think that this would be a point where David in his writings would say, Selah. That word means, let's meditate on it. Let's think about it. If you will, stand. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Let's take just a minute. And let's try to let what the Lord has sent to us soak in. I have tried greatly over the last couple of days to let it soak into me, into my heart. And this altar's open. If you feel the need to come and ask God for help, if you need to come and call on Jesus for a cure, if nothing else, maybe you need to come and pray that God would help you be strong and withstand the wiles of the devil. To withstand the temptation of those things that are out there in the world that are so tempting. Those things that smell so good, those things that look so good, that would be so easy to bring a new type of music or a new book of research into the house of God. I know that I've prayed much in the past few days that God would give me strength and wisdom to see those things and to withstand them. Not just the church, it's your own life. As a Christian, if you're saved by the grace of God, you need to continually pray that He will help you to to be strong, to beware of those devices of Satan.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this opportunity tonight to stand, Lord, to present Your Word. Lord, I thank You for giving me the strength to make it through it. Lord, I pray, God, that it would have hit home with this church. I pray, God, that they would leave here with a warning from You. Lord, that we would have the strength and that we would be careful about so many things that are out there in front of us. Oh, Lord, I cry out to You now and I ask You to preserve this church. Lord, I pray for the leadership, for our pastor, our associate pastor, our deacons, Lord, the Sunday school teachers, for each and every person that is chosen by You to hold a position here at this church. Lord, I pray for them. I lift them up to You. I pray, God, You would give them wisdom, that You would give them strength. Lord, I pray that You would protect this church in a way that only You can, Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that if You were to see fit, if it would be Your will that somehow someone would come in here and tempt us in some way, Lord, that You would have mercy on us. Lord, that You would see fit to preserve us, the true church, the body of believers. Dear God, I pray that You would just keep Your hand on us. Keep Your hand on Bethel. Lord, on the pastor as he goes out and preaches at these various places, God. I pray that You would strengthen him. Lord, I pray that You would protect him, because only You know how great the desire is of Satan to foul him up and to hurt him, to harm him. Lord, the families of those people that lead this church, God, I pray for them. Lord, please help us. Dear Lord, please open our eyes to the things that are around us. Dear God, I pray that each and every person here would be blessed by You to be safe as they leave here. Lord, I pray that everyone would be able to reflect and to meditate on these things. God, that we would be able to constantly remember them and be wary of those things that are out there. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.